Welcome to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the Van Wee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
It's Saturday morning on the First Coast, and it may have actually stopped raining for a while.
It's kind of like we live in Seattle right now.
Told my wife as I was getting ready to leave that I might change the bumper music today to John Fogerty with Who Stopped the Rain. But then I drove over the bridge on the Intercoastal Waterway and through a double rainbow with some sunshine backing it up. So my mood improved a bit right there, so I didn't do it. So you get Pink Floyd as usual. Here we are, as always on Saturday morning, alive and well for the Van Wee Financial Hour. My name is Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a lot to talk about. It was some interesting week for those of you who watch these things. And we'll go through a whole bunch of aspects of that. But I'd like to welcome all the new listeners. If you're hearing us for the first time, I hope you stick around and you'll do some topics that we really like to talk about. And we'd love to do a few topics that you would like to talk about. Not all financial shows are equal, you know. Many of them are pre-recorded, where all you're going to hear, sometimes more than once, is what the host wants you to hear. But if you would like to take some editorial control of the programming, then all you got to do is pick up the phone and dial 222-TALK. That's 222-8255, area code 904. Ask us anything you like, and we'll either have the answer or we'll get the answer one way or the other. So there is so much out there. There's so much that we do that is not just strictly investing. So we're going to kind of have the two parts of this show today, where the first part is a lot more about investing. Second part's going to be more about other personal financial things and some things that are going on that may help some people. And of course, if there's a third part of the show, it'll be whatever you bring up with your telephone calls. So call and call now. We will have a trivia question, and it's based on some of the things that went on today, and that's, as always, sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. And he answers his own phone, folks. So if you need an alarm installed or need one taken over, Ken is your man, and we have personal experience that backs that up. So, without too much further ado, we were cruising along, just kind of having a real good time this week, watching balances rise steadily, knowing that Janet Yellen was going to commit the ungodly sin of actually opening her mouth in public. And lo and behold, she did it. And here's what happened. Take it away.
Yeah, we had almost a really good week. I guess I'll put it that way.
Some weeks just need to be 4 days long.
Yeah, I wish we could have stopped on Thursday, but Friday came and the market dropped almost 300 points, and that was the bad news. The good news was that it was up almost 300 points earlier in the week, so it ended the week down just 0.3%. The NASDAQ actually did end up 0.2%, and the S&P was off about 0.2%. So all in all, pretty much a flat week.
But it was more fun getting there than it usually is.
Yeah, true. Considering the supposed magnitude of the Fed decision this week, I kind of consider a flat week a win for the markets. I mean, I know it sounds weird, but
we were up last week.
Yeah, yeah. In case you've been hiding under a rock, the Fed came out with their decision on Thursday to leave interest rates unchanged at just about 0%. In my humble opinion, this lack of action on the part of the Fed sums up everything that is wrong with the system. The Fed is not a government organization, but they might as well be. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me to learn that the Fed was run by a bunch of ex-congressmen. Their inability to make decisions and get anything done could only have been learned in D.C. However, kudos to Jeffrey Lacker of the Richmond Fed for being the lone dissenting opinion on the Fed vote. At least somebody gets it. I mean, one out of, what, 9, 10?
And we've been calling for a rate increase for how long?
I mean, we've been talking about it for months.
It's not based on our view that the economy or employment or anything like that are so good. It's based on our view that this is the stupidest policy in the world. It hasn't worked. It won't work. It'll never work. And there's evidence all around the world to prove it. And it falls on deaf ears at the Fed.
So you might be wondering why the market reacted negatively to the Fed decision when the major reason we have seen such a strong bull market recently is due to the low interest rates. So that kind of goes against what's been happening over the last few years.
Yeah, so let me get this straight. The only thing that buoys up the market is low interest rates, right?
I guess.
That's what they've been trying to tell us. So the market's been scared to death that interest rates will rise, right?
Yeah.
They didn't. So euphoria, right?
No.
Well, there was for 10 or 15 minutes.
To me, the game was rigged. I mean,
it all was rigged.
I feel like Friday was going to be a down day no matter what happened, because if the Fed raises rates, that means the economy is strong enough to support higher interest rates. However, the market would go down because interest rates went up. Now, if the Fed decides to keep rates unchanged, they're saying that the economy isn't strong enough to support higher interest rates, so stocks drop based on that news instead of on the rate hike. So it's basically a no-win situation, which says to me they should have done the right thing and raised the rates. If it's going to go down either way, raise them.
There's some times out there when all news is treated as good news. There's other time when all times when all news is treated as bad news. But this news, I believe, was treated appropriately because A,
I agree,
bad policy,
mm-hmm.
but B, what did they say other than they're not raising rates? And this is where I take exception to these people.
Yeah, they really missed the ball on that one, too. We'll talk about that more after the break.
Yes, we will. They've been lying to us for a long time about how the economy is strengthening, employment is strengthening, and the economy will easily support a rate hike. They not only contradicted all of that, but they also took a worldview that means they are intervening on behalf of all the idiots who run all the central banks and all of the countries of the world. That is not their purpose. I know why it happens. It's a little conspiratorial because the biggest influences and the owners of the Fed are the people who are very wealthy in Europe, not this country. So they're getting a lot of pushback, I know, from the Europeans, and that's just the beginning of a discussion on this thing that I really don't like having, but we have to. Well, one of the things that they want to do, they want to get the inflation rate in this country up to 2 or better. Well, some of you have heard me talk about a fellow named Ed Butowski, who maintains what he calls the Chapwood Index, which measures inflation twice a year in 50 different cities around the country, including Jacksonville, Florida. So my question today is, and this is the actual measurement. This is things you buy, things that I buy, things that everybody listening buys. And it's consistent from one period to the next. To the nearest percent, what is the inflation rate as of June 30th in Jacksonville, Florida, according to the Chapwood Index? And you can look it up if you have to, but call us with an answer and we'll be right back.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Busy talking back here. All right, the soft underbelly of live radio, it might be. Who were we complaining about? Oh, I know, Janet Yellen.
Yes, we were.
As much as it irritates me to even talk about her, this system is just so wrong, my blood pressure rises. But how is it that someone with that much power can month after month after month start telling us how wonderful things are, better and better than every single meeting they fail to raise rates, meaning things can't be that very good. Now, this doesn't compute with me, but what really doesn't compute is now apparently we have become the watchdog to the world, and this can only mean trouble because it's hard enough to maintain one group of imbeciles in the Fed. But to maintain all the imbeciles and all the central banks and all the world and try to keep their policy going, I have absolutely no idea how we're going to be saved from that. So if I'm sounding a little glum or gloomy, it's because I don't hear anybody complaining about it except myself. And I think with all those Republican candidates out there during this next 15 months or so, somebody should go back in history and revive a saying that Bill Clinton used. You know what one it is?
I do not.
It's the economy, stupid. We need to get this economy going, and it's not going to happen under Obamacare, and it's not going to happen under these tax rates. And now I am done beating myself up over this topic. So how about that? You must have more to say, though.
No, okay. That pretty much sums it up.
Well, good. It's just so frustrating when it goes on and on and on. And as Adam said, it you get the feeling things are rigged. There's a simple reason for that, folks. It's rigged. I'm going to tell you something that James Garfield said at the beginning of his presidential term. And I quote, "He who controls the money supply of a nation controls the nation." How's that?
I agree.
Yeah. And who controls the money supply?
The government, the Fed?
The Fed, not the government. Working in tandem, I guess I wasn't done.
I guess not.
Working in tandem with the Treasury Department, when the Treasury overspends and runs out of money, the Treasury calls the Fed and says, I need whatever number of $100 billion. The Fed people type that number into their computer, and on the books of the U.S. Treasury, that money appears. It wasn't there, and now it is there. They created it. And that's how this Federal Reserve creates money for all the spending that people in Congress do. Now, this means that there is nothing backing this new money except air and the confidence of the people behind it. The world is still confident in our ability to pay things. I cannot begin to tell you why.
Well, I guess it's because we do have a pretty good track record in that department.
All right, now let's get around to the other side of the conspiratorial thing. Why do you suppose interest rates are being kept that low?
Well, now you're getting into some serious conspiracy theory.
Well, yeah, maybe.
I know where you're going. I don't know if I agree with that. I think it's has more to do with the lack of leadership at the Fed than anything else. I don't think that it's a government conspiracy.
Well, you can think and I can think, but you know what would happen if interest rates rose to a reasonable market rate right now? The interest on the national debt would be astoundingly higher. I said last week that the government was so proud that they had cut the deficit for August in half, which they did partly by paying $42 billion worth of bills in July instead of August. Well, just think, $400 billion is a reported deficit for this fiscal year. What would happen if the interest on the national debt rose from where it is now up, say, 2 or 3 percentage points where it should be? That deficit would skyrocket. And, of course, a lot of us would make more money because we hold some of the debt. But aside from that, I think that's just a ruse being used to keep the people believing that there's a Democrat out there somewhere who has the first biscuit about running an economy, and I don't believe it for a second.
Well, that brings me to my next topic.
Good. It is, you got to get me off of this. Yeah, I could go on all day, and you know it better than anybody.
We do need to. So I sat down and thought about what a quarter point increase really meant to a consumer this week. So if it had gone up a quarter point, how would it affect you personally? Let's look at the biggest purchase we all pretty much all make, a house purchase. Let's say you have a mortgage, $200,000, and currently it's at 4%. What would happen if you got a mortgage at 4.25% instead of 4%? So we're looking at a 30-year mortgage. We're not taking into account interest, taxes, down payment. Just interest, not taxes or down payment or anything like that. So it's just a $200,000 mortgage for 30 years. At 4%, the monthly payment is $954.83. At 4.25%, your monthly payment would be $983.88. That is a difference of $29.05 per month of extra interest, or an increase of 3.04%. Ironically, that $29 is about the same payment that you would make if you did the payment plan on your new iPhone 6. So
yeah, that's true.
Over 30 years, this amounts to about $10,457 extra that you would pay on your total mortgage, and your total payments would be $343,739 versus, if you paid the extra quarter point, that total would be $354,196. So that seems like a little bit of money, over $10,000. But when you spread that over 30 years, it's really not that big of a deal. To give a more relevant example, let's look at a car loan. We'll say a $20,000 car loan over 5 years, and we're not taking into account taxes, titles, fees, all that. It's just the loan itself. At 6%, your payment would be $386.66 a month. At 6.25%, your payment is $388.99 per month. That's a difference of $2.33 per month. Or, over the life of the loan, 5 years, it'd be $139.80. So, does it really affect you? Yeah. I mean, we're talking about such a small difference in terms of a consumer. Now, if you take that and you multiply it over the entire national debt of the United States, it comes out with a lot bigger numbers.
My point. But what are you getting, or the other half of that, the reward for it, is that your savings would start to actually make some money. Part of the reason the stock market's been so high is that there is no place to put money where you can make money on your money. And that is brought to you by the Fed's artificially low interest rates. So it doesn't bode well for older people to have these rates stay down close to zero like they are, because these people saved all their lives to get enough money to put in some CDs and that sort of thing and make a little side income from it, and they're not doing it. So a lot of them are having to go into the markets, which isn't always appropriate for their situation.
That's true. It's really tough to make any money putting money in savings these days. CDs don't pay anything. Bonds don't pay anything. It's really tough.
Was it 6, 7, 8 years or something like that we've been punishing savers? And I don't see where there's any reward as a country for punishing the savers. In fact, if anything, you're going to take money out of investable assets, meaning people who save money that goes into institutions who then lend it to people who need it to start new businesses and hire people, that sort of thing. So it's really a self-fulfilling prophecy that this will not work.
Yeah, that's true.
And the more you study economics, the more you understand that what's going on around us is dangerous, detrimental. All right, the trivia question. The Fed wants the inflation rate to get up to 2 or above to just prove that the demand side of the equation for everything is strong enough to raise rates. Well, the Chaplin Index, which measures the actual inflation rate by taking a market basket of 500 goods that we all have to buy in the rough proportions that we all have to buy them, and it measures it and remeasures it every 6 months. Jacksonville is one of those cities. I want to know to the nearest percent what has been the inflation rate in Jacksonville over the year, the annual inflation rate as of June 30th, to the nearest percent. It's higher than 2, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, you all know that because you go to the grocery store and you pay your
healthcare and
homeowner's insurance and things like that. So you all know that this government is not giving you the truth. All right, a little about us. It's the moment for shameless self-promotion, which Adam just does so well.
All right. Well, outside of the radio, we do have day jobs. We're fee-only financial planners located in Jacksonville Beach. We're right off the Marsh Landing Parkway exit off of Butler Boulevard at 1538 The Greens Way. The number for the office, if you want to call when we're in there during the week, is 904-685-1505. And to find us online, you're going to have to be able to spell our last name, which is tricky. It's V-A-N-W-I-E, Van Wee. Or for those in the military, Victor, Alpha, November, Whiskey, India, Echo. Our website is www.vanweefinancial.com. We do a blog and we update it weekly. It's got lots of good information on there. We talk about things that we talked about on the radio and some that we didn't. So you'll see lots of good stuff on our blog. You can find that on our webpage. It's one of the links at the top. It's called our blog.
You hit it, huh?
Yeah. And if you want to find us on Facebook, we're at www.facebook.com/VanWeeFinancial or on Twitter at Van Wee Financial. And if you're not the type of person that likes to call into radio shows, you can email us at info@VanWeeFinancial.com and we will answer your questions on air that we read through your email.
Yes, my best critic, also my grammar checker and that sort of thing, and pretty soon I'll have been married to her for 43 years, and she also doubles as Adam's mother, informed me last week when I got home that she didn't think I completely answered one of Chris's questions.
Hmm.
So I thought I did. She thought I didn't. If there's any doubt, then I'm going to go back and cover it. So what she says I did not cover was, how will the deal that we just made with Iran affect us as investors and normal day-to-day people? And the answer to that, I believe, is twofold. Short run, long run. Short run, not much.
No.
There's very, very little impact that's going to be seen in our day-to-day lives. Long run, oh my goodness, do we have some situations there. I believe that it will wind up costing all of us a great deal of money, because there's going to be more conflict in the Middle East, and especially as regards Israel. Now, I promise this. I've been saying this for years and years and years. I promise you that Benjamin Netanyahu has absolutely no chance. I want to say it strongly, but I got to be careful. There's no chance he is going to allow his legacy to read, he is the guy who allowed Israel to go under on his watch.
Yeah, that's
not going to happen.
No.
The man is an incredible warrior, and we will have to do something about it. And that's my answer for the long run. But right now, hey, Larry, what's happening?
Good morning, gentlemen. Steve, Adam, I've got a guess on the trivia.
Yeah.
7.7%.
Your Google machine is working really well,
enhanced,
isn't it?
Enhanced by Google. Yes, I was going to say. I'm not taking the certificate. I was just, you know, just.
I know. I remember you very well.
Yeah, I have a little bit of shame left, so you know how it is.
Yeah, we don't.
Almost not, but you know.
Well,
okay. I appreciate it. I was just you know, adding that to the program.
Have you ever followed the Chatwood Index before?
Not before. You just taught me something here, and it's very interesting. When I was looking at it, it showed all the cities.
I got a little story.
Population.
Yep. I got a little story I'll tell you after the break sometime about Butowski, which I've said before on air, but I know a lot of people didn't hear it. He's a very interesting guy, as was his father.
Intelligent.
So, very intelligent. Extremely.
Very insightful.
Yep, so. Absolutely right.
So
thanks for turning me on to that.
All right, Larry. Yeah, thanks for calling.
Okay. Go have a good day.
Let's do a follow-up trivia with what
oh,
is
yeah.
the
I like it.
We'll ask, what is the number one city for inflation and what is the number? And I tell you, it is a lot higher than Jacksonville at 7.7%.
It really is. George, because we're almost up on the break, is it okay if we don't take your call? Of course, you're not there to answer that. But George, hang on through the break if you would. Yeah, that's a good one. According to the Chaplet Index, what city has the highest city in America has the highest inflation rate, and to the nearest percent, what is that rate? And Larry, no fair calling back.
Yeah.
Well, you can call back, but not for that reason. So we will be back shortly after the break with the trivia question. We're going to talk about student loans. We're going to talk about some things that have happened to the FAFSA form, those of you who know what it is. And they're actually good things.
The government got it right.
I can think of maybe two other times the government got something right, so this was quite amazing. So hang on, you'll hear about it. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
WBOB Jacksonville is
Bill Bennett.
This is Laura Ingram.
It's Glenn Beck.
Michael Savage.
Mark Levin.
AM 600 and FM 100.3. WBOB Jacksonville.
Where
SRN News. I'm Wally Hines in Washington. Secretary of State John Kerry is expressing concern about Russia's movement of tactical aircraft to Syria. U.S. officials say Russia moved a small number of fighter jets to a base in Syria yesterday, just hours after Defense Secretary Ash Carter and his Russian counterpart had meetings. It's a done deal, yet opponents of the Iran nuclear agreement aren't going quietly. The 60-day congressional review period has expired, but lawmakers plan to work next week on other steps they can take. One proposal being discussed calls for stepping up oversight of Iran's compliance. Pope Francis on his way to Cuba, starting a 10-day pilgrimage that also will bring him to the U.S. The trip includes stops in Washington, New York, and Philadelphia. A man's been arrested in connection with four of the 11 freeway shootings in Phoenix. Police say the suspect's gun has been linked to those shootings. More details at SRMNews.com.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Wednesday, September 23rd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., it's the Job News Jacksonville Job Fair at the Prime Osborne Convention Center. Wednesday, September 23rd at 6 p.m., it's free weekly group runs at the Fernandina Beach High School. And Wednesday, September 23rd at 7 p.m., it's the Music by the Sea Concert Series at the St. Johns County Pier at St. Augustine Beach.
For more information or to have your event included, visit jackscommunityevents.com.
Friday, September 25th is when The Promise and the First Coast will show their appreciation to the area's pastors with a Pastor's Appreciation Luncheon at Everbank Field.
All pastors are invited for this inspirational event. Dr. Dennis Hollinger, president of Gordon-Conwell Seminary, will be the special guest speaker, and former Jaguar Tony Baselli will share his thoughts.
Encourage your pastor to attend and RSVP at WBOBradio.com.
The Pastor Appreciation Luncheon at Everbank Field, because every pastor should know how the community appreciates their service.
News Talk AM 600 and FM 100.3 WBOB would like to thank our veterans for putting everything on the line to protect our freedom. Show them how much you appreciate all they've done by sharing your time, lending a supportive hand, a warm smile, or a sympathetic ear. Go to volunteer.va.gov and make our veterans know how much we appreciate their service. And thank you from News Talk AM 600 and FM 100.3 WBOB.
WBOB traffic and weather.
Good morning, 10:33. I'm Tom Murphy. We've got a wreck eastbound on Butler Boulevard between Southside Boulevard and Belford Road. 295, the East Beltway southbound, slows approaching Bay Meadows Road. Northbound the East Beltway, an even flow of traffic from Beach Boulevard all the way out to Main Street. Sunny today, 87 for the high, partly cloudy tonight, low down to 73. Sunny tomorrow and warmer with a high of 90. It's 80 now and cloudy in Jacksonville.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam VanWee.
Welcome back to the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we'll be here for the next half hour. The lines are open, 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. This segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Things have been growing and growing and growing. And he'll be out there as soon as it dries up. So if anybody needs either routine maintenance or a good project, he's a very good landscaper and so on. And we know the young man very well. So thanks to him. And right now, let's say hi, George.
Yeah, Steve and Adam. I called about antitrust, a lack of antitrust enforcement, and also the basic premise that consumers need money for the stock market to go up, and that's not happening. On antitrust, are you familiar with Clearwire? That's an unlimited internet service.
I've heard of it, but am I familiar? No.
Right. Well, Sprint bought them out to get their bandwidth so that they could turn that bandwidth into cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
And for under $40, you could have unlimited internet service. And over the last 10 years, internet service prices have gone up significantly, and now you're talking $60 to $80 a month to have a very similar type of service. And
right.
So there are pockets of things that are costing a lot more because the FCC and the other agencies are not enforcing antitrust. The competition is not as much.
It's been an authorized monopoly, the whole cable business, for as mm-hmm. long as I can remember.
Absolutely. I don't want to drive them out of business. I want them to make money, but you need some competition on behalf of the consumer. The other part of the consumer problem is that we hear that Fed is going to fix this and that and the other, and it's supposed to take care of employment. But they're not the right agency to do that. It's the President and Congress that are making the mess, and I just want to list a few things here that seriously affect employment. And first is, in general, I think the number is 92 million people are out of
94.
Work. Yeah, 94, and mm-hmm. it's 32 or so percent of the public. That's the real number.
Right.
And so we're not controlling immigration, number one. We're not balancing trade. We have free trade, and I want more trade, but balanced trade. We're not reducing regulations to start up small businesses, and we're not reducing taxes so that that money would go into investments and create a larger economy. And so if you want to chew on somebody's ear, chew on the president and your House member and your senator.
Absolutely. George, can I tell you something that happened to me this week? I was
sure.
innocently sitting around listening to Laura Ingraham when what caller should appear on the line?
Yeah, I have a tendency to do that.
I've known you a long, long time by voice, and I said to my wife, "That's George," and sure enough, it was. But I bring that up partly just because it's fun, but partly because Laura has a very similar worldview to you, and I have always been the quintessential free trader, but I'm coming around on those things because we're not getting any balance in our trade. So it's all the bad trade deals that are hurting us. We
right.
need to make better ones.
You're right, and I want more trade. It
yes.
it brings the poor out of poverty, people off welfare, it stabilizes the middle class. And if you don't guillotine the rich and run them out of the country, it helps them also. And but there has to be a balance. And like I said on her program, we don't want $15 an hour wages except for entry level and, you know, the certain of the 1%. We don't want 95% like Detroit. What we want is to use these different things I just talked about to get the wages in between. Then consumers have money, and then they buy stuff, and you see that reflected in stock market companies.
Would you call that managing the economy?
Yes, which we're managing it the wrong way right now.
Running it into the ground, I'm afraid.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been listening to all of the various and sundry talking heads that stand up there in the debates, and some of them make some real good points about this and that. But I really haven't seen a good comprehensive display of understanding, shall we say, about what this economy needs. They're quite reluctant to levy the right criticisms, I think.
Absolutely. And I just wonder if it's they're worried about getting donations, or they just don't have the experience. To be a president, I had four elected officials in my family, and one of them went the total Bush way and the way of being elitist, and she lost an election, the first one in our family. And the Democrats and Republicans in the family sat her down and said, you're saying the wrong things and you're believing the wrong things. You want to get into office. Think about what people really need, and she did, and she won the next election. And you really need to get out there like Reagan did and meet the people, and maybe 20% of the time give a speech, and 80% of the time listen to people and see what their problems are. And I don't believe in welfare as such, but for God's sake, we can change the economy tremendously if we do these things I just talked about.
The best welfare is least welfare.
Right.
The old saying says that the liberal measures success by how many people are on assistance, and the conservative measures success by the number of people that get off assistance.
correct. And I've lived and worked in 12 foreign countries, and I've seen the crony socialism within countries that are communist leaning, and within the countries in the Middle East, and they have a very similar type setup, and it just does not help the people. You end up with mass poverty instead of moving towards having people having jobs and being investors. And I really believe in that Chile system I keep talking about in various programs.
Yeah, although they're turning.
Yeah, everybody has a 401k, but it doesn't mean that you have to be 100% in the market. I'd like to see microloans easier to deal with, maybe investments in the when you hit $30 a barrel oil, maybe invest in the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and certainly small businesses. And it's just not happening right now.
You are absolutely right. And I'm constantly amazed by how few people are actually talking about it. I did think that Chris Christie brought up some good points about what we should be talking about, which is the 55-year-old carpenter or whatever who can't find a job right now.
Absolutely. A little government experience is good, but a whole lot of experience in talking, in having a job where you actually meet real people is more important, so that you know which way the country should go.
What do you think of the Bernie Sanders phenomenon?
Well, I'd like for him to, you know, visit Chile and Singapore and some other places where somewhat free market capitalism works, and you don't guillotine the rich. You can make an economy work and have kind of a little bit of socialism, but everybody being better off. That's one reason I like the fair tax. It's really a free market kind of reduce the size of government type of thing, where you get rid of the IRS, make them financial planners or something. And then you still help the poor as they're getting out of poverty with their prebate. They get a check every month, so you don't dump people on the street. But you still need to have an overall attitude of getting them into work and making them investors.
Yeah, we just have a devastating low level of understanding of economics and finance in this country. That's going to make it very difficult for someone who really knows these things to get any inroads, I fear.
Well, I've said on talk radio that if you're going to run for a four-year term of office like president, get out there and talk to people for 8 years, double the time. And then you have the understanding, and the three people at the top have a little more understanding than the rest, but not as deep as I want them to have. And the others have not necessarily gone out there, or they've gotten off on a particular issue, something that's hurt them. Running for office is a serious thing. And when I was very young, I would walk a county up in South Carolina with my grandfather and others and talk to people.
Yeah, I believe everything you say. You're right down the line. You've got a very, very good feel for all this. And a lot of it is just because you've been around a lot and a long time. I wish everybody would listen. You want to take a quick shot at the trivia since the music's playing?
Oh, I haven't read up on that, but I would figure some liberal enclave like California or something.
Yeah, you want to be more specific?
Oh, I don't know, L.A.?
Nope, but you're close.
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks, George. I really appreciate the call. George is a serial caller to wonderful shows. You get to hear him every now and again, and we're, I think, very fortunate that ours is one of them. He's picked to discuss things because he knows a lot about what he speak. We're about to head out for the final break, and don't go away because we will be right back.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Either there's no traffic or no commercials. Maybe nobody's buying anything, so nobody's selling anything.
Guess not.
Guess we're back already. Hi, I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we've been talking about all kinds of things, especially the Fed, but we're going to flip-flop it over now to a little different thing. We want to talk a little bit about changes in educational funding that are going on. It is the season where the graduated seniors now are off to their various institutions, And already it's time to talk about the next level that's coming up, because you start now in order to get into a school for next year. And Adam has some interesting things that we both believe are very, very good. Well, we both do. We're going to talk about them. Yeah. And the number one thing is changes in how you apply for financial aid.
That's correct. Yeah. Under the old system, you actually had to apply to college and then apply for financial aid. And it just didn't make a lot of sense, because how do you know if you can afford a school if you don't even know what they're going to give you in terms of assistance, loans, Stafford loans, financial aid grants? And so recently, I guess this week, it was the president signed a bill that moved the application process back into the fall, I believe. And that makes just a ton of sense to me, because, yeah, that way you know what you're going to get before you are fully applied to schools, and you can make a rational decision about where you apply based on how much money you're going to get. If you can't afford 50-something thousand for a private institution, why even bother applying there if it doesn't make sense?
And they did that by changing the time frame during which your income is tallied. They moved it to the year before they used to look at it, which means you've got all your numbers with you by the time you want to fill out these forms. Now, it may not be quite as current on the information, but it certainly is a big help for people who are trying to get their application in. So I think kudos to the people who did it. Strangely enough, they did something that's good for the consumer.
It's fun to talk about things that the government gets right, because we don't get to do it very often.
That's for sure. Now, I have a website for all of you who are looking at the prospect of colleges for your upcoming juniors and seniors and whatever. It's called Scholaroo, S-C-H-O-L-A-R-O-O, like kangaroo. What Scholaroo does is it tracks all available scholarships. There are some obscure scholarships out there, the likes of which you just would not believe. Just weird, weird things. Now, what Scholaroo does, you sign up, and you give them your email address, and they will email you periodically scholarships that are available. So you can go in there, and right on that site, that you can see how much money has already been given out, and you can kind of estimate how long it's going to be going on. It tells you what you need to do. Some of them are 350-word essays. Some of them are need-based. Some of them are academic-based. Some of them are small. Some of them are not small. There's some really good ones out there. Some of them are variable and go up to like $50,000. But the point is, you can track these things, because what happens with these, a lot of them go unused. Not good. But the second thing that happens is somebody finds out about it, gets an application, and there's not much competition. They get it, and it closes up before you get a chance. So what this young fellow with Scholaroo did was to get this information in a place where it can come to you when it's very timely. And you can start right now applying for scholarships that would take place next year. A lot of these companies have budgets. A lot of those budgets are on the calendar year. A lot of people want to get that money placed before the end of the year so that they can get it restored for the next year. I say, let's help them. Let's make sure we get that money in the hands of some of the people out here. So again, it's scholaroo.com. And if you miss it, I'll post it on our website and put a link to it, at least in the blog. I believe that this is going to be something that'll help an awful lot of people. The cost of college is maybe not escalating quite as fast as it used to, but it is escalating, and it's already too high. Now, if you look at the unemployment in this country, the college graduates are just far, far better off than non-college graduates. Does not mean that it's right for every kid and every occupation, but college graduates in general, when they get out, they will have a much better chance of being employed. The less student debt you can come out with, the obviously better off you're going to be, so you can get a start on your life. So I want to talk a little bit about the differences in college funding. There are two fundamental accounts that are set aside strictly for educational funding. The first one is called a Coverdell. The Coverdell is a very restricted thing. You can only do $2,000 a year. it's really not practical when your kids are already in high school. You could help a little bit, but you're not going to get anywhere. This is really better for babies, infants, toddlers, whatever, where you got a few years to contribute and you can let it grow. The cool thing about the Coverdell, to me, is it can be used for any level of education. It is not a college savings plan. It is an educational savings plan. So if you've got a kid who might be going to a private school or a grandson or granddaughter or something like that, and you want to start giving them a little head start, well, as soon as they're born and have a Social Security number, you can start contributing. Now, there are rules and restrictions, like there are in everything. Some of this is income-related, whether or not they're going to allow you to actually do it. But the rules are easy to find. You can look them up, and you can really help a real young child that way. The other type, the traditional 529 plan, comes in two flavors also. One of them is called the prepaid college plan, which is about the most descriptive way you can say this. And the other one is the fundamental investment account. If you want to read a lot about college savings plans, 529s in particular, and they are called college savings plans, it only works for post-secondary educational expenses. But they're very generous as to what an expense that qualifies is. I prefer the Clark Howard website. If you type in 529 plan on Clark's search bar, it'll take you right to a wonderful dissertation about 529 plans, and it has this wonderful feature that I really like where he ranks them. He's got his, what is he called? His top ones, his honor roll, I think he calls it, of mm-hmm. state plans. Each state has one. You are allowed to contribute to a plan in any state that you would like to do. There are some tax benefits. If you live in some states, you're not going to get that in Florida because we don't have the state income tax. And, of course, you never would want to move to a state just to get a little break in their income tax because you'd have an income tax, kind of shooting yourself in the foot. Anyway, we are very fortunate, again, in Florida in that we have the prepaid program. This is a study in risk. If you want to eliminate risk, let's say college escalates faster than you thought it would. If you have the prepaid, the risk is on the state of Florida. They will pay those expenses when the kid gets there, no matter what the cost of the program is at the time. So if you want to transfer all your investment risk over to the state, you use a prepaid college plan. If you want to simply invest and let time and investment take its place, then you can do a 529 traditional. Personally, I use the Utah plan, which is on Clark's Hall of Fame page. There are others that are very good. You, like I say, you can do it in any state you want to, and you can use it in any state you want to. But the prepaid is interesting for people who live in Florida, know they're going to live in Florida, expect their kids to go to school in Florida. There's a little downside to them. I suggest you read up on all of it. Adam, what are you and people in your age group doing for the most part, you know?
I was actually having a conversation about this last night. Most people are using 529 plans. The downside of the Florida plan is that you either have to pay a lump sum up front or get into a payment plan. And with a 529 plan, it's completely discretionary. It's up to you how much you want to put in every month. If you have a tough month financially, you don't have to put in anything. Or if you have a little windfall, you can throw it all in there. So I think the flexibility of the 529 plan is what makes it really attractive. And there are some, like you said, some great plans with really good investment options out there, Utah being one of several. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're using. And I was having a discussion with someone last night who's using the Virginia plan. So kind of all across the board.
The way you invest in these things is selected by you from a small handful. Most times, there are plans out there where you can actually be a stock picker, that sort of thing. I would suggest, if you use something like Utah, you pick a predetermined plan. You can call it, they've got an aggressive one, they've got a moderately aggressive one. It's kind of age-based. There are other plans that have truly age-based, just like those accounts that we called the retirement accounts, or the mutual funds that are target date, 2050, 2040, whatever. You can do that and literally just put it on cruise control, let the pros handle it. One of the things that you look for in these plans is low cost. You don't want to be paying a lot of fees to the people who run the plans, and that's where places like the Utah plan really stand out.
Yeah, it does. It's one of the lowest cost ones out there. It is not the lowest, I believe, but it is in the top 10 or so. And they do have a great age-based investment option. That's what we use, the age-based aggressive global option. And it's done quite well.
Yeah, it has. I agree. If you want to know more, again, go to ClarkHoward.com and type in 529 plan or call us. By the way, this is part of an overall financial plan. College funding or educational funding is very important to your overall planning purpose and planning methodology, because it's a lot of money, folks. Just a lot of money.
It's crazy.
If you want to talk about that, we always offer a free consultation to anyone for the asking for any reason. And we know quite a bit about these things. We never sell them. We don't sell anything. We never do. We are truly fee only, which brings me to the next topic. A fiduciary is someone who has to act in their client's interest and put it ahead of their own. We are fiduciaries. The law is trying to be changed so that it will make everybody who is in the advice business, even if they say they're not, they are stockbrokers, et cetera, they're trying to make everybody become a fiduciary. This would be the unprecedented second time today that I actually said something nice about the government. The problem is I'm sticking my neck out, because every other time they've tried to implement this thing, at the last minute, Chuck Schumer pulls it out of there.
Well, the people that don't want it in happen to have a whole lot of money and a whole lot of lobbyists.
And I got a list of lies that they're telling to try to protect themselves, which I might do next week, depending on my mood. I don't like anybody to think I'm an old curmudgeon. Oh, wait. Maybe I do. The Chapwood Index says that the most expensive city, or the highest inflation rate city in the country, is San Francisco.
Shocking.
Shocking. With a mere 13% annual inflation rate, and I bet if you just measured rent, it would be above that.
Probably.
Folks, if you have enough money to live there, God bless you. If you don't, like me, I'm staying out. That's all there is to it. Thanks to everybody who called today, and thank you for everybody who's listening. We depend on you. We would be here again next week and take any more questions you've got. Meanwhile, again, if you need us at the office, 685-1505, or through the website. We are going to have to run, unfortunately, but be here same time, same station next week. Tula's in the house.
You have a decision. Make a good decision or make a bad decision. Time and again, in these circumstances, whether it's the people on the ground who are burning buildings down or the individuals who have run-ins with the police, they are making bad decisions. Police also don't make bad decisions. Yeah, sometimes they make bad decisions. Sometimes they make criminal decisions.
The Laura Ingraham Show, weekday mornings at 9, AM 600 and FM 100.3.
First Presbyterian Church in downtown Jacksonville is proud to welcome Reverend Dr. Dana Allen to the pulpit this Sunday for their regular Sunday morning worship service at 10:30. Dr. Allen's message will be The Witness of One Man, based on the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Visit First Presbyterian Church online at fpcjax.org. Both Dr. Robert Morris and Dr. Allen